The Sierra Club is marking a big milestone with its 50th anniversary celebration this weekend. An event on Saturday at Hakuloa Ranch is to showcase local green businesses as Hawaii, as an island state, has committed to lofty sustainability goals in an effort to become more self-sufficient. On hand for the event will be Michael Brune, National Executive Director of the Sierra Club. He talked with us about the current political climate as the organization looks toward the future.
We are clearly facing the biggest assault on the environment from any president in our country's history. Just about all of the work that the Environmental Protection Agency has done for the past couple decades is being threatened in one way or another, either through the rollback of different safeguards to protect our air and water and our communities, or the lack of enforcement of those same safeguards, or the muzzling of scientists, or the cutting of enforcement and the EPA's budget overall. And this is true for EPA. It's true for the Interior Department, which governs our lands and also helps to protect our air and water. It's true for the Energy Department, even the State Department, and many other agencies. So on the one hand, a lot of what we're seeing in Hawaii, but also in every state across the country, is a pretty aggressive attack on our environmental values. But at the same time, what we're also seeing, and which most people didn't really anticipate, is an enormous amount of progress being made at the local level, in towns and cities across the country, and at the state level on issues like air and water quality, but in particular on climate and clean energy. I just came from an event here in the Bay Area in California, in which the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, announced her commitment to 100% clean energy. And I know that that's a little bit old hat for folks in Hawaii, as the whole state has made a commitment to 100% clean energy, but this is becoming a new normal. There are now more than 80 cities that have agreed to make this commitment, and it's a reflection of an enormous amount of momentum that we're seeing and a surge of civic engagement that is, of course, the opposite of what we're seeing coming from the White House.
Right, and I know there's a concern about where the administration wants to go with coal.
Yeah, indeed. You know, coal has been an integral part of the U.S. economy for more than a century. It has helped to build our country in many ways, and it's in the course of the development of coal, it has helped to lift many people out of poverty and into the middle class. It's also true that coal contributes to 4 out of the 5 leading causes of death. It is the mining of coal is plundering mountains in Appalachia. It's plundering and befouling rivers and waterways across the country, and we don't need it anymore. We now have technology that isn't just cleaner, but it's also much cheaper, like solar and wind and energy storage and tidal energy. So the Trump administration is trying to exploit the fact that there are coal communities that have been dependent on coal for jobs and their livelihood, that are looking for leadership at the state level and at the federal level. Donald Trump isn't providing that leadership. He's exploiting the fears of these communities without providing real solutions. Good news, though, is that we are beginning to transfer away from coal, and we're doing it in a way, plant by plant and mine by mine, that offers a chance for workers to have a foot in the new clean energy economy and have a role in which they're continuing to produce energy, but doing so in a way that doesn't our planet in the process.
Well, here on Oahu, I know we've got a coal facility out on the west side, and I understand the Sierra Club is, pushing to try and close that.
Yeah, it's the AES coal plant. I mean, there's no reason why there should be coal that's being burned for electricity in Hawaii or really in any state right now, but particularly on Oahu. The fact that we're mining coal thousands of miles away and then shipping it all the way out so that it can be burned for electricity when solar could much cheaper. Wind energy could be even cheaper still. Tidal energy and energy storage could meet the same needs, would create more jobs, not create other kinds of air and water pollution, and also cut carbon emissions.
It was a big deal when we had Papahanaumokuakea declared a national marine national monument, but there's just concern about all that being unraveled.
There's valid concern about many of the monuments that have been established in the last 20 years since the Clinton administration have been under review by this administration. My understanding is that Secretary Zinke is coming out to Hawaii pretty soon as well. This is part of the assault that we're seeing on many of the environmental values that we hold dear in this country. Bears Ears National Monument, which was a 1.5 million acre national monument, was gutted by this administration. We're challenging it in court. We expect to win in court, but nevertheless, this administration cut protections by just about 90% of that monument. And Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, also in Utah, was cut in half by this administration as well. So we're seeing a lack of respect for local values and a lack of appreciation for the benefits that these parks bring, whether it's on land or the marine national monument.
And I know there's concern about climate change, and you'll be taking part in an event on Saturday.
Certainly, yes. Saturday, what we're seeing at the Capitol Rotunda is one of hundreds of demonstrations that are happening across the country to show our resolve and also our optimism that we know that we can transition away from fossil fuels. We know we can, when we embrace clean energy as the dominant source of power production, we'll produce benefits well beyond the climate change issue. We'll be able to cut varied forms of air pollution and water pollution, but also stimulate jobs and save money. So the rally on September 8th on Saturday at about noon will be one of several hundred that are taking place all across the country. It's just been a rejuvenation and a rededication to American democracy by tens of millions of people who are marching, thinking about their purchasing power, they're investing in the solutions that they care about or divesting from problems. They're engaging in different ways. And when you get to the organizational level, the institutional level, that same renewed spirit of collaboration is also true. So I've been at the Sierra Club now for 8 years. I've been doing environmental work for more than 20 years. And I would say the collaboration that we see across the environmental community is unprecedented. I help to organize a network of organizations that we have a phone call every day at 9 o'clock East Coast time to share intelligence. And we share intelligence across the whole community about what the administration is doing, what's happening in Congress, and how we might respond. We are trying to find ways to knit together more carefully and more effectively all of the different strands of the environmental movement so that we can work more effectively together. And what we're also seeing is that whether you care about economic justice or racial justice, or you care about indigenous communities or gender rights, reproductive rights, there's a broader collaboration that's happening not just within the environmental movement but across many movements at the same time. So ultimately, I'm hopeful, certainly about the environment and our ability to protect it and to resist this administration, but I'm also hopeful about the country because I think that people have, they have been stimulated to take action at a deeper level, and they're finding a deeper level of patriotism.
What do you say to the folks out there, though, that maybe don't agree with your position on the environment and think that we have over the years just gotten caught up in so much red tape in creating a lot of regulation?
Well, I guess the first thing I do is I try to really listen and understand that perspective. I don't profess to have the right answer to every question, And I find that I'm a better person, I'm a better leader at the Sierra Club when I'm learning from other folks. So if I encounter someone who has a different perspective, I really try to shut up. And I try to listen and understand what it is that they're saying and what they object to and what their experience has been. You know, my dad was a construction worker, and he complained about regulations and how they sometimes hurt or stifle his business. And so I think really clearly and carefully about what it is that we're advocating for and how can we make sure that we're helping businesses at the same time that we're helping the environment. So I guess when you said, when you asked me what do I say to people, I really try to listen before talking. And then when it is my turn to speak, I offer an opportunity to see if we can reconcile perspectives by emphasizing how it is possible for us to advocate for strong environmental protection and to do so in a way that helps our economy and helps communities and workers at the same time. It doesn't threaten the profits of companies that genuinely are trying to do the right thing.
We've been talking with Michael Bruhn of the Sierra Club, who is here in Honolulu to help the Hawaii chapter celebrate its 50th anniversary.